Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, July 17th, and Danny is back here, barely, but you can't imagine how delighted I am to see you, because you sounded in pretty bad shape.
Yeah,
you know?
I am in bad shape, actually.
Really?
I couldn't take any pain meds this morning because I had to drive.
Yeah. So you had surgery over the weekend?
Saturday.
Oh, wow.
And I was awake the whole time.
Really? Are you serious?
Yeah.
And this is what, for liposuction, did you say?
Mm-hmm. On Jeez. My stomach and my arms and my back.
So why didn't you have any pain? You were awake. Is there a reason why?
I don't know because this is a revision because I went to them a year ago and it was really bad. Like, it was just a really bad job. I was lumpy and bumpy everywhere. So they were fixing it with like no charge. And they gave me a concoction and I thought, okay, well, I'll be asleep soon. And then all of a sudden I'm wide awake as we're going into the room and I'm like, what's going on here? And they just gave me two stress balls and I was awake the entire time.
Jeez. Mm-hmm. Wow, man. Yeah. Yeah. Hold on a second, guys. We haven't introduced you yet. They're eager to talk. I just wanted to introduce in a moment a couple of our guests. We're going to have a great show today. More filmmakers coming in. Potential award winners, probably already winners, and everybody that associates with Catherine wins awards. You know who I had on yesterday? Do you remember the movie Detainment with the two kids that killed?
Right, yeah.
The one of the kids was here.
Oh, really?
With his mom. That was such a, you know, and this kid is like, he's 14. When he played in the movie, he was 10, and he had never acted in his life. Never
took a lesson. Yeah, that's usually how it happens.
You know, so he's like talented.
Yeah,
you know?
He's on his way being a superstar.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, well, I'm glad to. So it's hard for you to sit, huh?
Yeah, and drive.
Really?
Yeah, it's the first day driving. Yeah, it hurts.
Well, you deserve a medal.
I feel like I need to start maybe doing it, though, because if I just stay in bed, and even laying down hurts. I slept an hour last night.
Oh, my God.
And that's on meds. Yeah. So that's crazy. And it's oxycodone, too. So you would think I'd be like out like a light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wide awake. Wow. I didn't fall asleep till 6:30, and then I woke up at 7:30. I watched like 17 movies in a row and I was like, why am I not? I almost cried at one point. And then my sister called me at like 7 p.m. last night, bawling her eyes out, saying that Bruno's about to be put to sleep.
Oh, no, the dog.
Yeah, my baby.
Right.
So I wept for like 10 hours. So I thought that was going to put me to sleep. Nope. Yeah. Wide awake, but he's okay.
I think the whole sky has fallen on you.
Well, they say it's Mercury in retrograde, whatever that means. But everyone seems to be having like a really bad time right now. So. Yeah. That's probably what it is. But yeah, I'm really, really sore.
Well, we'd love to have you, and I hope for a quick recovery for you, you know.
God.
I mean, but I think it is good for you after a couple of days to just go out a little bit, see the sun, breathe air, you know.
But I have to wear like long sleeves because I have a body garment on, and it's long sleeve. So I'm like sweating right now. And you know I'm always cold.
Yeah.
I'm always cold, so I'm sweating right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But hopefully, because Gabby's here on Saturday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I don't want to be like, when she gets here, you know?
Very nice. Well, she's coming to support you?
No, she's getting surgery, too.
Oh, okay.
So I'm going to be taking care of her.
Yeah. Well, so this is a story. That's where we stand today, folks. We have a couple of great guests in the studio. If you want to join us and see what we look like, you can go on Facebook, on LA Talk Radio's page on Facebook, and you'll see us there. You can watch and share and everything. So let me introduce Kristen Carey and Johanna Watts. Welcome to the show, guys.
Oh, hi.
Or ladies, how are you? I call everybody guys.
That's
relax,
right.
Yeah. So, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Of course. And I don't have many notes on you because they didn't put your name on here, but it doesn't matter.
That's okay.
Because we don't go based on notes anyway. I just need to know what movie you made and who you are, and that's it. And then we go from there, you know?
Right, perfect.
Yeah. So, and yeah, it was arranged by Catherine, and we get all her clients, mm-hmm. you know. So we wonderful. Hope you'll have fun here.
Yeah.
Are you from L.A., Kristen?
I am.
Really?
I went to college here. I went to USC.
Ah.
And since then I've lived here. Grew up in Northern California.
Oh, in Northern California. Yeah. Where about?
Santa Rosa.
Santa Rosa.
Wine country.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Wow.
That's nice.
It is
I've
nice,
never been
right?
there, but it sounds nice.
You'd love it. And by the way, thank you for coming in.
Oh, thank you
so much, Payne. That's really sweet of you.
I know. I was like, this morning, I was like, I'm not going to go. And then I was like, I'm just going to go. I have
you
to
are.
Film. I make most of my money off YouTube. So I was like, let me put on some makeup and like force myself to do shit today because I haven't done anything since Friday. Yeah. Like, that's a long time ago.
Right.
Almost a week ago.
I love it. She's like a boss bitch, right?
Yes.
Like you're,
amen.
You're a girl boss. I like it.
I'm trying to be.
I know. And anyway, I changed my mind about what I wanted to say. So, okay. So your movie is The Price of Silence?
The Price for Silence.
For Silence. I'm sorry. You see, you got to read. No, it says Price of Silence here. Okay.
Price for Silence.
Yeah, for Silence.
Now,
okay. Yeah. You see what they do to the host now? And then they make us look like crap, you know, because, hey, he can't read. Well, I'm reading, you know, but The Price for Silence.
Yes.
And so we'll get the movie as well. And so you're the director, the producer of
no,
the
I'm
film?
No, I'm one of the stars of the film.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're in the film
I'm
as well.
I'm also in the film.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
The director lives on the East Coast. We shot it in just outside of New York, in New Jersey.
Tony Germanario.
Yeah.
And so most of the cast and crew are on the other side of the country.
Oh, so what are you guys doing here?
We were
just
cast. We were brought out from the West Coast to have a big adventure.
Yeah, sounds good. Yeah.
Have you guys been in movies before? You guys both kind of look familiar. Lifetime?
I've done some, yes.
I'm like a Lifetime fanatic. That's all I do, literally.
You probably, yeah, I've seen several.
Yeah, it's literally all I've been doing. That and Hallmark Channel. I go back and forth.
She's got a TV built in her forehead,
yeah,
you know?
Seriously.
She watches so much TV for the both of us, you know, since
that's
I
good.
Never watch it.
I went out the day before surgery to dinner, and there was this girl, because promoters just, like, get girls, pretty girls to sit at the table, but we all eat for free, so everyone's like, yeah, we'll come. And there was a girl sitting across the table, and I go, hey, this is really random, but were you in a Lifetime movie? And she was.
That's funny.
Because I watched so many of them.
I know a lot of people, they decompress. My sister's a doctor.
Yeah.
She comes home at night and that's what she wants to watch.
Yeah.
She goes,
really?
It's embarrassing. I don't want to tell anyone.
Yeah.
I said, no.
It's a guilty pleasure. What the hell? You know?
It is.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So, and you know who else is in the movies? Emrys. Remember he was here? Emrys Cooper, right?
Yes. I'm actually still cool with him. He invites me out all the time.
Really?
Yeah.
He's a very cool guy, right?
He plays my son.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
What a small world.
Yeah,
he's
I know.
He's wonderful in the film. Mm.
Really?
Wonderful. Yes.
Wow.
And as a person. Just
he's a great guy, yeah.
And Lynn Mancinelli is our star.
Uh-huh.
I wish she was here because she's also one of the writers. Her and Tony wrote it together.
It's a short or a feature?
It's a feature.
Oh, it's a feature.
It's a feature film. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of work.
Yeah, it was an 18-day shoot. Indie films, you know, you gotta get it all done.
Yeah.
Right.
Quickly.
Right.
And so our relationship outside the set was most important because it's a pretty heavy film. It deals with a lot of subject matters from opioid addiction, alcoholism, sexual abuse.
Wow.
So,
and they stuffed it all into one film. Sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's an incredible film. It opens this Friday
at
the Arena Cine Lounge.
On
Sunset, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it opens here.
Yeah, here on Friday for a week theatrical run.
Wow.
Yeah. You must be excited, huh?
Yeah, we are.
Wow.
We are.
It's a big deal. And so you were you cast in the traditional way for a film? I mean, did they have like a casting call out there and directors, or did you know somebody already?
I wasn't. I was cast in something that Tony made a few years ago called Wingman Inc.
Uh-huh.
And we worked together out here on the West Coast making that film.
Uh-huh.
And since then, we've talked about working together again since.
Oh.
And so when he made this Price for Silence, he wrote a little part in for me. So my
part's
relatively small, but I've known Tony for a number of years.
That's
Kristen.
Amazing. Yeah, I was cast the normal way.
Uh-huh.
You know, agent manager says they need a self-tape ASAP. So I did a self-tape and I was cast. It went very quickly. That's what I love when things go quick.
Well, when you fit the role, then it goes quickly, you know?
And she's fantastic in the movie. She's perfect.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure.
He saw her tape and immediately knew Kristen was the one for the role.
Really? Wow. How long have you been acting, Kristen?
Gosh, that'll age
okay,
me.
You know, okay. No, that's a good enough answer.
I mean, a long time. I don't care. You know, I've been acting for a long time, 25 years. And this is one of the best projects I've gotten the opportunity to work on.
Wow, that's saying something,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm. I mean, the cast, the crew, and just the feeling. Everyone wanted to make a really good movie. Everyone was there for each other. Richard Thomas, who's incredible in the movie. We all know who Richard Thomas is from The Waltons, or maybe, I don't know if you...
Yeah,
I was he's like, also on Billions.
Yeah, it sounds familiar.
Yeah, look him up. He's famous.
Richard Thomas is an incredible Broadway actor, accomplished in Broadway television and film, and... Right. He plays. So he's incredible, and came in and did the film, and we had a ball. We'd go, "Where's Richard? He's out getting ice cream."
Yeah,
he would just go walk off set. We shot in small towns in these great locations where you felt like you got that small town feel.
Right.
Wow, very nice. And where did you grow up?
I grew up in Florida.
Oh, really?
Central Florida, yeah.
Yeah.
I've been out here for a while, though.
Really? And, what brought you here?
Acting? Of course.
So you started acting also
well, again,
early
I'm not
on.
Gonna age myself, but early on, yeah. I mean, right. Since childhood, actually. I've
really?
Been working since I was, I don't know, 8.
Wow.
So,
cool.
Yeah. And yeah. I did a lot of theater, regional theater, and then I made a little PBS movie in Florida.
Right.
And then came out here.
Were your parents instrumental in you... Picking
not
a career
at
like
all.
That?
No.
No.
My parents are hippies. So they would have been happy for me to just like live on a farm and, you know,
right. co-op somewhere. And just,
yeah.
No. So I was always in charge of that, and I would get myself to an. I didn't always get myself to the audition, but I found out about them, and I get my mom to take me, and I got myself there, and then I moved out here by myself. Quite a while ago now.
Wow,
very
wow, that's
cool.
Crazy.
So this is home for you too.
It is.
Yeah. No more Florida for you. Oh, you go to visit.
No, my
I'm
mom's
sure.
now moved out here.
Oh,
so
really?
Now
cool.
This is, yeah, her home too.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. You see, that's the way to do it.
I wish my family would make that move.
Yeah,
I'd be so can, content.
It's so comforting. It is. Your whole family.
Yeah.
One little place.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, and many people like our family is like spread all over the world.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you never get to be together, or not that often,
mm-hmm.
where you get to be together. So I guess if you don't want to move to where the family is, bring them over to where you are.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
yeah. It's important. Family's important. I mean, you know, in this film, unfortunately, my character, I'm not the best mother.
Are you an alcoholic?
No.
Not everyone else in the family.
You know, yeah, everyone else in the family is, but I am in complete denial. I'm one of these characters that literally...
Like, you're the character that everyone's like, this bitch.
Yes. But you also, I think, feel for her at some point because she is wound so tight and she is has created such a world for her of the outside is perfect,
mm-hmm.
but everything else is crumbling on the inside.
Right.
And she
right.
doesn't want to see imperfection. She doesn't want to see what has happened. She thinks maybe something has happened to her daughter, but she doesn't don't want to deal with it. And you know, being Irish Catholic, we do that a lot,
right?
Yeah.
So I could
they're like you're in denial, right?
Right.
You just stuff it down. Everything's fine.
Yeah, I know. My mom is like that too. You know, it's like, yeah, this is not happening.
Right.
It's like, you know, move on, carry on. You
right.
know. So I can relate to that.
Okay,
you know?
You get it.
So now, when you saw the script, what did you think? Did you think this is a good role for you?
I did, because I couldn't wrap my brain around how a mother could be in such denial.
Right.
And how you can't see your daughter spiraling out of control. How you can't see your son, you know, how you, and not do anything about it.
Wow.
And have both children really spiraling out of control. There's always like one that's kind of got it together.
Right. And one tries to get it together. And, you know, so my daughter, played by Lynn Mancinelli, and she also wrote it, she leaves. And we don't talk for a long time. So what propels her to come back is the death of my husband, her father.
Which is Richard Thompson?
No. Richard Thomas plays kind of like the, what do you call him?
The town bad guy?
Yeah, the town bad guy.
Well, the rich, wealthiest guy in town.
Yeah, who owns everyone and everything.
Exactly, buys the secrets.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Hence the title.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Yeah.
What is the price
for stretch
time?
For him. I mean, he's always like such a nice guy in movies, you know?
Exactly. He's never played this kind of role, but he
right.
nails it.
He's a great bad guy.
Yeah.
Because he's real wow. soft.
Yeah, Hannibal Lecter, hello.
Yeah. She knows about that. She watches a lot of crime shows, you
yeah,
know?
Right? Mm-hmm. It's the quiet ones.
Yeah.
And you're like, and even the nice ones.
And the nice ones that have like random conversations. I mean, I guess I could probably be like a psychopath then because I have random conversations with everybody. But I'm saying guy-wise. Like if you watch Criminal Minds, it's always like the nice neighborhood friendly guy.
Right.
That's going around killing everybody.
Right.
I'm like, what?
Right. Yeah. It's like, oh God, Ted Bundy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Johanna, how about your role in the movie? What do you play?
I play a friend of the lead mm-hmm. who was wronged long ago by her. And we haven't seen each other in years, but there's sort of a long-standing feud between us. And just like your character, we try to stuff it under the table and act like everything's fine. Lynn's character does not actually do that at all. She just outs everyone. No filter at all. It's so fun to watch. I mean, it's a dark film, but Lynn is so charismatic.
She's so good. It's
so beautiful and sexy. Yeah. And
so what? She's the daughter in the show?
She plays my daughter.
Yeah. I see. Okay.
The lead in the film.
I see.
She worked with Tony on a film Tony had made a few years ago called Bad Frank. Mm-hmm. And they hit it off. Tony said, I want to make a movie with you, and came up with this idea. Brought it to Lynn, and Lynn said, that's it. Let's write this. And,
wow. How cool is that? Huh?
Yeah. And this was all before the Me Too movement, which it deals a lot with sexual abuse.
Right.
On women. Right. And men, and hiding things, and paying people off, and not revealing secrets. So this was before the Me Too movement. So when we started hitting the festival route, we've won a lot of film festivals. We've won a lot of awards. It was kind of, everyone's like, oh, you guys did this for Me Too. Go, no, it was actually done before the movement.
Before that,
it was just a subject matter that is relevant.
Mm-hmm. So the film was made, what, over a year ago then, right?
Yes, back in, about a year and a half ago. Yeah.
So it took him this long sort of like to do the post-production and everything and marketing.
Last
September, I think, we started the festival and had a premiere at the Chelsea Film Festival in New York. So last September is when, and then the festival route, it's a run, about a year run of festivals.
Wow.
Yeah, I feel like everyone that comes in says that festivals are about a year.
Right.
Yeah.
And you guys went to all of them?
I haven't gone to most of them.
I went to many of them, yeah. I had a blast. Yeah. Film festivals are fun.
Are they really?
Yeah.
You get to meet a lot of people that are like you, right? In the same industry.
And you meet other filmmakers and you talk film and you're watching films all day and you're going to panels and your film's there and you promote your film and it's fun to be nominated and win some stuff and go to the awards. It was a blast.
That's awesome. Yeah. Now, you said you went to USC. Did you go for film and stuff? So they have like the best school, right? For film and stuff?
They do. For theater and film, I got my
theater and film.
Yeah. So I still do a lot for you. I love to go back and work with MFA students and do stuff because it's my school, it's my alumni, and I know for myself when I graduated, they didn't teach us enough about the film industry.
Really?
No. Wow. So when I got out, you didn't have a roadmap at all.
Right.
There was no internet.
Right. How's it possible? Very different back in the day.
How's it possible they did teach you that stuff?
Isn't
though?
It crazy? They kept the film school and the theater school separate.
Right.
I think they're changing that now.
Yeah.
And they're big, because we have a lot of famous alumni, so everyone's like, let's you guys have a bunch of actors over here.
Yeah.
So
very cool. Yeah. Did you go to college?
I did. I went to University of Florida.
Uh-huh.
And I did not study theater. I minored in theater.
You were smart. You actually got an economics degree or something, right?
Sociology. I actually wasn't. Sociology is not much you could do with that.
That's great.
But it was, it was fun to be there. And in the background, I was shooting stuff and working in theater. And and then just went down to Orlando and did a little stuff down there before coming out here.
Wow. Yeah. So that was a pretty big move for you. I mean, you moved by yourself, right? You were young and everything, you still are, but I meant younger.
I was naive enough to think. I was like, I'll just go out there and I'll be discovered.
I think that's what everyone says. That when I moved out here, I was like, I'm going to move out here and it's going to be so easy. And I was like, whoa.
Yet.
He's having a reality check. It's not easy because everyone is doing exactly the same thing.
Right.
Exactly.
It's really hard.
Had you been to LA before that, or was that
I briefly been to LA when I was looking at colleges.
Right.
So I'd come out for a few days and just gone to USC and UCLA.
So you know what you're moving to, although you didn't know the town.
Don't. Yeah.
The town.
Exactly. I had a couple of friends that I'd met on a set, and I guess what inspired me to come out here. I'd been to South by Southwest in Austin and met a few filmmakers there. And then I made a film in Texas and everyone said, go to LA. You've got to go now while you're young. And that's right. I had a couch to sleep on. So I was good to go. So
did have to twist your arm too much. No. Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. So let's delve a little bit more into the story of the movie, because we didn't get a screener or even a trailer.
They sent one.
Really? Well, maybe not on this email. I don't know.
Let us tell you all.
Yeah, you tell us about it. And the movie is The Price for Silence. And so, yeah, it sounds like a dark film. I mean, you know, family dysfunction, which everybody has, really, but maybe not to this extent, right? So, okay, and who wrote, Lynn wrote it?
With Tony.
With Tony together, right.
Tony Germinario is the writer. It's story by Lynn and Tony, but I think Tony did all the writing.
I see, okay. And now, where was it filmed again? You said up...
New Jersey, New Jersey. Are those the two places?
I think that was it. I don't think they went to New York.
Yeah.
No, not
did you guys film in the winter or the summer?
Summer.
Oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah, it was
and
nice.
Did they show nice scenes and nature and things like that?
Yeah, we had some great aerial shots, which a drone by Mike, our DP, some great drone shots, which is so cool in filmmaking to be able to do that. And it makes the, you know, it just gives you a whole sense of what's going on. And the camera we were talking about earlier, you know, Tony and Mike, the DP, really were, they wanted it to feel real. And I think, you know, sometimes the camera can kind of sit back and watch things, and sometimes it goes in.
Right.
So they, Tony was talking about Richard Thomas's character always wanted to be shot from up above because he's the powerful,
shot
menacing.
From below, so that he's
so he's up above. Right. So, and then what happens is, I think he was talking about, as the story continues, Lynn's character becomes more empowered and starts to become at the same level, and then eventually
I
overtakes.
I'm assuming he probably like raped her.
Not quite. No,
no,
he didn't. His
no,
son
he didn't.
Did.
Yeah.
Oh, he did also.
No, 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 he didn't.
His son,
oh, he didn't.
Yeah.
Richard Thomas's son.
Yeah,
and he's like paying everybody off to like protect his son.
And who's John, played by John McCormick, who is an incredible actor in New York. So,
is there a rape scene in it? Those are always tough to get through.
They're flashbacks, and they're really beautifully shot. So sometimes rape scenes can be really hard to watch and brutal. And I'm not saying this isn't hard to watch.
Right.
But it the way that it's shot, it's her memory. She has PTSD.
Right. As any female should.
Yeah. I mean, Joanne and I are both
survivors.
Survivors of sexual assault.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, in a weird way, you start to find it's a club.
Yeah.
And as we saw the Me Too movement happening, women are coming out left and right. And we were kept silent for a long time. And it's that thing of it. There is a lot of shame.
Right.
There is PTSD.
Right.
But you can eventually.
There is a sense of guilt.
Right.
Often.
Absolutely.
I must have done something wrong.
Right.
Because this happened. I must have asked for it somehow.
And I think the Me Too movement, it's not a hating of men. And I feel bad. Men's like, what do we do? What do we do? It's just not, what do you do? It's just. Just listen. I mean, the only thing is really just to listen and pay attention
and
respect people's boundaries.
Right.
Wait for the enthusiastic yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Not the sarcastic or the forced yes.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it's about. It's boundaries. You know, people don't have boundaries and they think, hey, I can do whatever I want to this woman with no consequences.
Right.
It's like, no. Let's, you know, so.
And it's hard to understand that many men assume that is attractive to a woman, you know, when they force themselves and
it's
things
not.
Like that.
And I think they know it's not. But I feel like a lot of people come to my Instagram page and assume that I'm a whore.
Right, because you probably post beautiful pictures of yourself.
And like
I dress a
certain way and I have like a large bottom. And I assume that every dude that like slides in my DMs or like asks me to hang out assumes I'm probably just down to F on the first night and I'm not.
Yeah,
no, it's just.
And then they send dick pics and everything, you know, and it's like, what is this, you know? I mean, who does that, you know?
I haven't gotten a dick pic in a very long time.
I know.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God.
You're lucky. Maybe it's fading away, that trend.
I don't think a lot of people are doing that anymore.
Really?
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, I don't know any girlfriends that have gotten any dick pics.
Well,
recently.
That's good because people used to talk about it on the show
all the time.
Yeah.
Really? Back in the day, like when I was in high school, and I'd be like, ew.
What high school? I'm talking last year.
I'm saying that's how far away dick pics are. Like high school.
Right?
Years ago.
Since
decades ago.
I think there's so much.
Dick pics are over.
Yeah.
I think the accessibility with Instagram and Facebook and all these things. When I was growing up, we didn't have any of that. So me transitioning to this world, I think you're so accessible now.
Right.
We're all so accessible
now.
Yeah,
it's so easy. And like I just like even... people that are in relationships, it's so easy for those relationships to be over with one mistake, with one just female sliding in the DMs that is okay with being a one night stand or something or being caught. It's just really easy. But people do judge a lot. Like I told Sam a while ago, I had a one night stand with an actor and in halfway through the night because we talked for 5 hours. And he goes, oh, this wasn't what I was expecting. I go, what were you expecting? And he was like basically stumbling over his words. And I was like, you looked at my page. You saw that I have a podcast called Swallow It, and you assumed I was going to come over here and like probably
be wild.
Yeah. And I wasn't that.
Wow. Yeah. I did a short film called Swallow.
Really?
With Mike Judge from Beavis and Butthead. Yeah. You can imagine what that was.
Yeah. That was really fun.
It was fun. But yeah, no, you're right. Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to get back to the plot of the film. Yeah. What's interesting about this one is a lot of women who've been sexually assaulted or portrayed as withdrawing from their sexuality and hiding and feeling fearful. And Lynn's character does the exact opposite. Mm-hmm.
Like she's
and
into sex.
She goes a little,
hypersexual.
Right. She kind of loses her boundaries and doesn't know quite how to, how to protect herself.
Was she in like a relationship with the guy?
She
was a high school relationship. You know, that innocent thing that we think we're, you know, kissing and stuff is happening. Yeah. And then
it goes too far.
But he doesn't think anything happened, really. Mm-hmm. From the viewpoint of the guy, it's like his character, I don't think he felt that was wrong.
Happened.
It just happened. It was something between them because you see them see each other when she comes back for her father's funeral. He's, hey, how you doing? Let's hang out. And it's like he has no idea what she's been going through.
Yeah.
That's wild. Men are so dumb.
Yeah.
Maybe we're not equipped to pick up on these things.
Bad sex for a man is very different from bad sex for a woman.
Right.
Like bad sex for a man is like, it was a little boring.
Right. Yeah. She wasn't freaky enough.
Yeah. Like it just wasn't that fun. Right? Bad sex for a woman is potentially painful.
Right.
Really makes you suffer emotionally and physically.
Right.
And it's interesting how we just have completely different stakes when we enter the bedroom. And you know, and so a guy might come away going like, whatever. And a woman's coming away going, I am traumatized.
Right. And or she's coming away, meaning the struggle was part of the attraction, meaning he thought that struggle and this whole thing was part of the act and it was good and consensual and it wasn't. That's how the blinders are on with these guys. Right. It's like, no, you need to know when someone is enjoying something or when they're not enjoying it and they don't want to be there.
Right.
And take control of that situation.
Right.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty powerful stuff.
A lot of people watch like porn these days and it's all like aggressive. So men probably think, oh, this is what all women want.
Right.
No, not all the time now.
No,
so.
It's not. And so her character, revenge is a pill best. What is that?
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I can't think of it though.
Best served cold.
Right? No, that's revenge is a dessert best served
cold. Hold on. I'm going to Google it.
Where's Tony, our director? He would know.
I'm telling you. It's like, it's best served cold.
Hold on. I'll tell you.
Revenge.
Facebook. No? And tell us where we should.
Yeah, exactly. But it
and
is.
Everybody and, look it up. We're so smart now with Google and stuff. You know,
I know.
Siri.
But the cool thing about the film is that my daughter and I do.
Oh, yeah. Revenge is a dish best served cold.
No, it is. Oh. Not dessert.
Yeah.
A dish.
Yeah. Okay, we did it together. A collaboration.
That's how it works, right? And indie filmmaking as well. As, but the relationship between my daughter and I, we do reconcile. Uh-huh. And there is finally a time where I realize, because I'm so blind to the Richard Thomas's character. I think, you know, some people have said that have watched it. Oh, did you guys have like our characters? Have something in the past or something, because I have such a
chemistry,
an affinity to him that everyone's like, why do you believe, why are you so blind to him?
Oh, were you like dating him in the film?
No, I mean, Tony and I talked about past stuff,
right?
No, but people have brought it up,
right?
Like maybe it was something, because how can you be so blind to your daughter's, you know, to what's happening to your daughter? Right. We do reconcile, and I finally, my eyes are wide open,
right?
Some things happen in the movie, not to give it all away.
It's okay.
You know, we want you to see it.
I like
it.
So
it starts from the ending.
Yeah.
You know?
But
it's okay. Give away as much as you want.
There's a satisfying ending, I would say.
A very satisfying ending that you have to, you have to see to believe.
So don't tell us. Yeah.
So is this going to end up on Netflix, the movie theater? Where is it going after the film festival circuit? Or is that over?
It's
on Amazon, and the festival circuit's more or less over. Yeah. There might be some screenings yet remaining.
So they're putting it on the big screen.
Damn, I don't have Amazon.
Right?
I'm sorry, one more time.
What? You don't have Amazon?
You have to get it.
I thought you did.
I know.
It will be on other platforms later. It's just opening on Amazon first, right. And then it will be released on other platforms.
Because Amazon carries everything, you know? That's why,
Well, I have the Amazon Fire Stick.
Yeah.
Because I have an Amazon account, but I don't pay for Amazon.
Right, so you don't have Prime.
Yeah. No, I do pay for Prime.
Oh,
that's why
you have
it.
You have it.
Oh, okay.
So you have it.
You're missing out on a lot of great shows.
Yeah.
You are.
This whole time, I'm like, I don't have it.
Right. I know, I'm telling you. If you don't want to go to that Redbox you still go to,
I know.
You can get any movie you want right there, you know.
I have a I have a show on Amazon right now opposite Miles Teller. I play LA County Sheriff's Department captain on Too Old to Die Young, and it's
crazy. They used to come right across the street here to film.
Oh yes, we shot right down. That was our base camp.
Right,
okay.
It was right across the street. You know, at the parking lot of the mall,
the Sunkist building.
Right,
was our base
and
camp.
They would
production
put
office.
And they would put a sign saying
"Too old to die young."
And I'm like, what is that? You know? Wow, so you were in that movie?
Yeah, it's a show. Yeah, it's a limited series. Miles Teller, Nicholas Winding Refn's a creator director. Incredible. He did Drive with Ryan Gosling. So.
Oh, really?
That movie was so frustrating, though, on so many levels. Loved it, but frustrating.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of what I've been working on.
Oh,
what have you been working on?
Oh, I just wrapped up a Fringe Festival play that they're developing into a film, but they want to shoot in December, but the budget is so large, they're like, I don't know if we can make it with you in the lead. So what they're going to do is shoot a smaller film next month with me in the lead so they
that's
can
great.
Convince the financiers to have me in the lead of the film we just project we just worked on.
And that's a great
that's smart.
It's a great thing about indies is that we're able to you're able to cast people that you might not know. Yeah, you might know me from a Lifetime or a TV show or other films I've done or whatever.
Right,
but
I've been on sci-fi shows and films.
But the great thing about indie, and thank you Tony and Lynn for casting me, it's the kind of role any actor would jump at.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and they went with an unknown.
Right.
Relatively. You know what I'm saying? They didn't, you know, Laura Linney or whoever else would be in that category of playing this woman, the mother. And that's the great thing about indie filmmaking. And I personally like to watch films where I don't know.
Sometimes I do too.
Right?
And like even shows, I'm like, I prefer not to know the person because I've seen the other person in so many different roles. I'm like,
Right.
And
it starts
just
to
seeing
blend.
The actor.
That's true.
Right.
You know, with the stars. And you know a little bit how the movie's going to go once. A star,
you know, he's
on.
Not gonna die,
exactly.
Right. Exactly, you know, like Jason Statham or something. You know, he makes a million movies, he's the same part,
but you never lose a fight,
he's the same character in every movie.
But
you
people are fans of that because they like to see him do that. If he did something else, we'd all be like,
he's very funny, though. I thought you anyway.
And then Seth Rogen, right? The same character in every movie.
He's enjoyable to watch. I'd watch anything he's in. I think he's so underrated.
Yeah.
I find him very attractive in a weird way.
Yeah, yeah.
I totally
Did
him.
You see the one with Charlize Theron? I mean,
no, not yet. I'm waiting for it to hit Redbox.
Yeah. You gotta see that. That one
good?
Was good, though. Yeah, yeah. It was good. But because he thought nothing of himself, and then they connect, and she's this big deal and beautiful and everything, you know. So,
but they grew up together, no? In that movie, they were like high school. They knew each other in high school or something.
Yeah, you really believe I remember that?
I don't remember. You're horrible at movies.
I think the next thing we want to do is a comedy because this film was heavy, and I remember it was so funny. Joanna was so amazing on set. I was having to be in states of despair all the time. And crying, a lot of crying.
Oh wow!
How do you?
I could barely talk because, and I remember Richard Thomas one time. I had earbuds in to listen to music. It helps me get into the mood.
Right.
And he goes, "God, you're so busy." I go, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You always have the earbuds. You're always talking." I go, "No, I'm listening to music to keep me in a state of where I need to be because, you know, it's hard to. I know some actors can cry on cue. I have to. It has to really move me. I can't. I have to really.
Really? So you get into it?
I have to. Wow. For me, there's an honesty.
How do you cry on cue? I always wondered that.
It's not it's a build up. It's a lot of prep work. It's a lot of that I worked on before I even got to set that I'm ready. You know, the second something will trigger me that I can tap into.
Do you have to sometimes go back in your past and think of something that made you really sad?
Absolutely.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Wow. There's a lot of visualization, and for me, it's a muscle that you work.
Right.
For me, and going back to certain moments, like, you know, when I found out my dad passed away.
Right.
Those kind of things, you remember.
You can trigger,
you can remember what the carpet felt like. You can remember the smell in the room. You can remember.
That's true, right?
You know, those things that you can bring back, and immediately you're right back in that spot.
That's true.
You know, it's
yeah. Amazing. So it's, Johanna, I wanted to ask you, have you done any theater and stuff too?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you like that?
I love it. I love live theater. It's so really? Satisfying mm-hmm. because you get to take a character from start to finish right. in a 2-hour span, and you go on this journey with your fellow actors and with the audience.
Right.
And there's just something so deep and satisfying about that process that I think I'll never stop doing theater.
Right. Right. And there's one take.
That's right.
Right.
You're there, and it's
live.
There's such a thrill to
it's
just
such
going
a thrill,
on stage and whatever happens
theater.
In that moment. Yeah. That's it. You don't get yeah. to go back and do it over again.
Yeah. So you too like theater.
Love
a lot.
It.
Yeah.
I've done a lot in the. I do a lot of LA theater. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're doing a reading of the Mueller Report tomorrow. Live.
Mueller Report.
Ooh. Live at the Mueller Report at the Fountain Theater. It's starting at 9 a.m., streaming on Facebook till midnight.
Really?
A lot of stars are reading.
So you're just going to read that boring stuff.
Well, I'm only reading, every act gets a 10-minute slot.
Yeah.
So it's something, the Fountain Theater. They're,
yeah,
they're
this
very
was
active.
The investigation into the president and stuff.
Oh, yeah,
know.
That's totally, boop, don't know. Though.
She hasn't followed that. She's on another planet when it comes to politics,
yeah,
you know?
Don't.
But Lynn, our star, Lynn Mancinelli, as well as John McCormick, and Emmerich are both big theater. I feel big theater people.
Right,
yeah,
they
right.
they perform in New York theater. They're in London theater for Emmerich. And so I think we're all of the like-minded. I think theater actors are some of the best
right.
actors, just because it's that. It's hard work. It's and you know, you really need to connect and listen to each other. So being on a film is almost Disneyland.
Right.
I mean, to a point, because you get to do it again if you're like, oh.
Yeah, that wasn't quite right. Let's just go back and run
right.
it one more time. And it's lovely to work with theater actors also because we're used to spending lots of time
rehearsing
together.
And, yeah, we love
and
it.
So it's fun to be backstage or offset with your fellow theater actors.
I think that would be a really cool job being on set.
It's a blast.
Really yeah, I think I would love it.
It brings you close because you work together intensively
yeah.
for... Mm-hmm. You know,
but on high budget films, there's a separation.
Oh, like if it's
you're
like,
in your own trailer and it's a lonely existence. But on indies, you're kind of on top of each other
right.
because the budget's limited, and that's what is so great about it.
Right.
It's hard if you have to cry on
that's
cue.
True.
Yeah, because I want to hang out and have fun. I'm like, oh, yeah. I got it. But Tony, we spent 2 hours or 3 hours, I think, in a van driving from one location to another one day, and it was one of those things.
That's
when
a
do
long
I,
time.
When do I get a chance? I know. But it was awesome. But when do I get a chance to sit with a director, pick his brain, talk about the character, talk about life, talk about everything?
Right.
That those are the moments that I just love, and I makes the film making part the best part.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's cool. So how long have you known each other now?
We met on set.
Yeah,
we have
right.
a couple friends in
yeah.
common.
Yeah,
we met on set.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How exciting is
and
that?
And I've had some of my closest friends I meet on set because
uh-huh.
when you're always on
right.
set, you bond with people, and it's
and know. I think it's easy to make friends in the same business that you're doing because
mm-hmm.
people understand what you're talking about.
Right.
Like I have like a lot of friends that do reality TV because that's what I've been doing,
right.
and like when I tell like people that haven't done it, they have no clue what I'm talking about.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, never mind. Never mind.
Everybody in their specialties, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's something for everyone. Reality
yeah.
TV, scripted TV, you know.
Yeah.
Would you guys ever write a film?
We were just
yeah,
talking about
that's
yeah,
so funny. We were just
yeah.
talking about maybe collaborating on
yeah.
something.
Oh, a comedy,
forward.
Right?
Yeah,
I'd love to do
yeah.
a cop
and,
comedy.
And I mostly work as a writer in comedy. As an actor, I tend to be in drama and sci-fi.
That's right.
And then as a writer, I tend to do comedy. Tony and I actually work together on a very large budget action comedy, and so we're still trying to get that one off the ground.
Right.
But it's fun to write. It's fun to work
yeah,
with another
yeah.
creative person and create a story and. So yeah,
I admire
think
that.
We might be doing that going forward.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's fun.
Yeah, I see the notes here. You were in Hall Pass.
I was.
Really?
I
did
was.
You ever see
I
that
did.
Movie?
I knew it.
Is
Hold
that,
on a second.
Is that when she let the guy out?
Yeah,
24 hours,
and then they realize at the end they don't want to cheat.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes,
wow.
Jason Sudeikis, Owen Wilson.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a blast.
I would never let my husband. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Right.
I know. Right. Yeah, I got to play Aunt Meg with the Farrelly brothers, and it was that was an incredible experience.
Yeah, so that was funny, right? I mean,
very
that
funny.
Was a nice
yeah.
comedy.
Yeah, there you are. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl. That's an old picture.
Hey, girl.
There's better ones. But yeah, Alexandra Daddario played my niece.
Wait a second. You were on Scandal?
Yeah. I had a recurring role in Scandal.
Wait a second. You bad guy on Scandal, correct?
No, Brooke Foster. I had my own talk show. And I would interview. Yeah.
Right.
But I was not a great. I was like
yeah,
a Nancy
you were like,
Grace.
Yeah.
It's like a wow. No offense, Nancy Grace.
Definitely saw you on there too.
Okay.
Wow, this is crazy.
Yeah, I know, right? A big fan.
Yeah, I watched all of the Scandal. I lost track of the last season, but
yeah, it was a great show.
Great show.
Female leads. I love that there's more female leads in television.
Right.
I love watching a lot of British television because the female leads are older.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't have this whole thing of you have to be 20. And so maybe I should go to London.
Yeah.
Why not?
Can you fake an accent?
I'd have to have some coaching. But yes. It'd be like the Cockney from My Fair Lady.
Yeah.
And you'd be like, what are you doing? That's not it.
I like the confidence, though. You know, I mean, yes, I know I can do it. You know, and
absolutely.
With languages, it's hard. Or mm-hmm. accent, you know, it's
it is
really hard.
Have you ever done an accent?
I have. Yeah, I played an Irish nun on Cold Case, and I've done.
I love Cold Case.
I played a couple of British characters before, but I would also want to go do some coaching before I launch right into it.
Right.
My dad's British, so technically I'm dual
cool.
citizen. But
cool.
I have to work on the accent every time before I play a British.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you have any siblings?
I have two half-sisters.
Oh, I see.
Yeah,
okay.
My sister was supposed to be listening, but she just is on the road right now.
Oh,
so,
no.
Yeah, she's. It was her birthday yesterday. And
oh, happy birthday,
happy
sister.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Jasmine.
Very
Jasmine.
Cool. Mm-hmm. And what about you, siblings?
This is a crazy story. I'll make it really short because I don't want to take up all the time. I grew up an only child.
Mm-hmm.
And 6 years ago, I got an email claiming that this woman was my half-sister. And to make a long story short, she is my full-blood sister.
What?
Yeah. So
somebody cheated?
No, that's what I, you know, so I called my, so I,
yeah, no.
Scandal.
It's a lifetime of, yeah. So I called my mom. My dad had already passed away young. And my mom was like, so I used my mom for this character I just played in The Price for Silence because she's in such denial. I said, hey, mom, this woman's claiming this. She goes, oh, I don't know. Your dad and I were, we were in college together, high school sweet, blah, 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 blah. And I go, okay, that's weird. And then for some reason, something came over me and I said, is this your and dad's kid? And there was a pause and she said, no. And then bawling.
Wow.
So then I knew that this was it's my full blood sister. I don't
they had
ever.
In like high school?
College.
And they put it up for
adoption. Catholic Charities, yeah.
Wow.
So my sister wasn't notified until my father died, because you're not notified until a parent dies. So she was notified because she was trying to find us. Didn't know about me, but trying to find my parents. And then through a series of events, my husband had just put up a website for me, went through the website with my new email address.
Wow.
And it's incredible. So I have a sister.
And she found you.
Which I always wanted.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
And I have a niece and a nephew and a brother-in-law, and it was...
Oh, cool. What a surprise.
Are you guys,
surprise,
like, cool?
Huh?
Does she live out here?
No, she's a doctor in Pennsylvania.
Oh.
But, yeah, she's the best. I mean, she's such a big sister. I feel I'm not alone anymore. There was
right.
that really lonely feeling right. being an only child.
God, she could probably act with all the shit she's been through, probably.
I'm like, my sister, she's very funny. She's a doctor, and they ask her, they go, you need to do a commercial for the clinic, for the hospital. She's like, nope, my sister can do it, but I'm not doing it. She's so not.
Yeah,
we're totally
yeah.
different people.
Wow.
That's funny how that happens.
Amazing, yeah.
I know, you know, and to be actually, to meet each other, where you weren't children together, you know? I mean, you didn't know each other. You know, until later.
And genetics, you guys.
You guys look alike?
Yes. And we are both left-handed. We both excelled in the same sports. And we're, I was in California competing. She was in Pennsylvania, all up and down the states, competing in the same sports, swimming and tennis. I mean, weird. We walk the same. We laugh the same. Mm. People that have known me.
Are you guys Irish twins? A year apart?
Yeah, 15 months.
Oh,
wow.
That's why. Yeah.
Yeah. And people that have known me my whole life, they meet her and it freaks them out.
Really?
Yeah. So this character, I was able to really pull a lot from my mom's own denial
right.
and the own secrets in our own family
right.
to use for The Price for Silence, because it was just...
Does she talk to your mom? I'm like digging
oh,
deep
yeah.
into the story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're all very good on vacations together. She's coming out for my birthday in October.
Right.
We see each other 2-3 times a year.
Oh, that's good.
So there's been some healing.
Right.
You know, which happened in the Price for Silence. A lot of healing had to happen.
Right. Right.
With my daughter and me. And I blamed her for the death of her, you know, the death of her father, the death of the brother. You know, I blame her for so much.
Oh, Zam, the brother dies in it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to give it away, but...
Opioids? Drugs?
Yeah.
You'll have to find out.
Yeah. I don't know.
I have to get Amazon.
Wait, is it on Amazon right now?
No. Friday.
Friday. Yeah.
And opens in the theater.
Okay, so that's the opening is on Friday.
Yes.
Where can people see it again if they want to?
The Arena Cine Lounge on Sunset. It's at 4:30 this Friday, but there's many times for the week. And it's arenascreen.com is where you get tickets.
That's connected to Arclight, right?
No, it's like that dome
next to Arclight?
It's locked down.
Oh, okay.
Is that on the corner of Crescent Heights?
No, it's 6464 Sunset Boulevard. It's right there. Right
Sunset and...
Right in the heart of Hollywood.
Yeah, right a block away from Arclight.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Yeah, because Arclight's the theater I usually go to, but I know there's another theater relatively close to it.
Yeah, it's that one. Yeah.
So that's a great area there. I mean, a lot of restaurants. Know, and, very cool. So, make an evening out of it.
I don't have a big part in the film.
She's fantastic
in
it, though.
This.
She makes them...
The actors are fantastic. Lynn and Kristen and Emirates, they're so fun to watch. They're so charismatic, and Richard, so engaging and in the world. And while it's a dark movie, it's got humor, it's got heart, and it's sexy. There's a lot of fun to be had in watching the movie, even though it deals with dark subject matter.
Right. But I think a lot of people enjoy going to see dark movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, like when Julia Roberts came out with that movie, do you guys remember that
Which one?
Where her daughter got raped and murdered.
Oh, God, yes.
That was dark, and it was like 3 hours long, but there was like no comedy, no nothing in there, but I still was like 11 a.m. in the theater by myself watching
it.
Right,
we hear these stories. And Johan, I mean, you're a badass in the movie, and gorgeous as all get out, and steals the scene she's in.
Thank you. The movie's really, really well done. It's worth going to check it out in the theater. Yeah. If you can see it in the theater, do go see it in the theater. But Amazon will, you know, you'll also...
And our producers, George Storr, Andy O'Connell, and Q, I just want to mention them because they were so kind and generous. You know, doing indie films, you know, they took such good care of me, and I'm sure took good care of you. That's
every
what it's
moment
all...
on set was just a pleasure. They made sure that we were taken care of, we were comfortable, we had what we needed, and a comfortable place to be. And then, you know, the cast was just such a delight to be around. The whole crew.
Right.
Actually, the whole crew.
The whole crew.
Half of the crew came from Tony's earlier movie, Bad Frank.
Spike, Mike. I can't remember his name.
Sorry, guys.
But you all, we love you guys.
Yeah, give shout outs. It's fine. Yeah. You know, this is a place to do it. The film is The Price for Silence. Don't forget to check it out. If you're in LA Friday, you can check it out.
And it's there for the whole week every day.
Oh, okay. So we don't
Friday. No, Friday through Thursday.
Yeah.
Just go on the Arena Cine Lounge website, and it gives you click on The Price for Silence, and it gives you all the showtimes.
Kristen and I will be there on Friday.
Yes, we will.
You will?
If you want to come see us.
Yeah, I do. We haven't had enough of you. I mean, really. You guys are amazing. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys.
If people want to find you, social media or something, how can they find you?
Kristen Nicole Carey on Instagram. KRISTIN, and then Nicole Carey, CAREY. Facebook, Kristen Carey. Twitter, Kristen N. Carey.
And I'm at Johanna Watts on Twitter and Instagram, and Johanna Watts on Facebook.
You kept it all the same. I had to switch mine up. And Tony Germanario, our director, really, for assembling what he assembled, he deserves all the credit for that, really.
Right.
It was an incredible group of people. They made an incredible film.
So we thank Tony and Lynn, of course, for making this happen. And it says you already won 9 awards.
Yes.
Is it true?
That's wild.
Wow.
Best picture, best directing, best acting for a number of roles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very cool. Well, we're impressed.
Oh.
We wish you continued success.
Thank you.
And that's it, Danny. You look at least.
Danny,
you look
you're
like
so gorgeous. She's
better.
Gorgeous.
Right? My eyes are actually like watering, if you guys can't tell. And I'm sweating.
Yeah.
Well, you look.
Yeah, you're a trooper.
Thank you.
I couldn't tell.
Yeah, go get some rest.
Thank you.
All right, everybody.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, of course. You're welcome back anytime.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Danny,
only on LA Talk Radio.